What is up, and welcome into the Locked On Chargers podcast. I'm your host, Daniel Wade, joined by my co-host, David Drogemeyer, and today joined by John Kegley. Again, excited to have John on the show again this week already. And we are three writers who got our start at San Diego Sports Domination, San Diego's top sports blog, and we've been covering the Chargers now for five seasons, doing our own Facebook live show, Chargers Domination Live. And this is now our third season as the host of the Locked On Chargers podcast, bringing you your team every day. Well, guys, it's been a while since we've all three been on a show, so I'm excited to be here with you guys today. Our week is a little mixed up because on tomorrow's show, we are going to have Sports Illustrated's Jason Hirschhorn to talk all things Chargers and also talk about the scouting combine coming up this weekend. But on today's show, we are going to be talking about the news that Darius Slay is being openly shopped by the Detroit Lions and him obviously interacting with a Chargers player on Twitter. So we're going to talk about that in the first segment. And then in the second segment, we're going to be talking about the XFL. So we put out a little thing on Twitter and you guys responded positively to the XFL so far through 2 weeks. So we're going to talk about that because there's some former Chargers and some other rule changes and stuff like that that could be fun to talk about. And then to wrap the show up today, we have two voicemails to get into, talking about some offensive free agent tackles and much more. So you guys are going to want to stick around for that. But let's go ahead and get into it. It has come out this week that the Detroit Lions are openly shopping cornerback Darius Slay. The Chargers have a huge need at the position, and Slay has been openly praising a Chargers player on Twitter. This is Daniel Wade joined by David Drogemeyer with your Locked On Chargers lead story. Adam Schefter reported this week that the Lions have spoken to multiple teams about a potential trade for Pro Bowl cornerback Darius Slay. Any team that trades for Slay would have to compensate Detroit and Slay with a new deal. Other teams believe Slay will be traded this offseason, but the Lions are adamant on value. This is big news for the Chargers because they are in the market for a second cornerback opposite Casey Hayward. They've tried other guys like Trevor Williams, who ended up getting injured and didn't work out, and Michael Davis, who has struggled over the past few years, even with the splashes that he's had of success. That is a position that they definitely need to upgrade. But when you look at Darius Slay, on the surface, you're getting a really, really good player, a former All-Pro player and Pro Bowl player, but it is going to come at a cost. So I think that's what this comes down to, because not only are you going to have to find the right amount of draft capital to let go of to get a player of Slay's caliber, but you also have to compensate him with a new deal. And from everything that he's put out publicly, it seems like he wants to go somewhere in the range of $14 to $15 million per season, which would be about the most in the NFL. So David, when you see that out there, it does seem like it would be a fit and something the Chargers would want to bring in, absolutely, but it is going to come at a heavy cost, and I'm not sure that they're willing to part ways with not only that amount of cap space, but also the draft capital as well.
Yeah, it's definitely not in Tom Telesco's nature to really make big type of trades like that. He hasn't really done that since he's been the general manager of the Chargers, but you never say never. I mean, this is a situation where you could capitalize on a fantastic player to put aside another corner you already have on one side, Casey Hayward, who's quietly one of the best corners in the league. You pair him with Darius Slay, I mean, you're going to have some absolute lockdown corners on both sides, and you mix in Des King in the slot. I mean, those are three extremely formidable corners to have on your team, but like you mentioned, it's not going to come cheap. I mean, Darius Slay's last contract was 4 years, $48 million, about $12 million per annum, and he's looking to get a little bit of a pay increase, and you know, if you look at his stats, pass defense going back 5-6 years, he's near the tops of the league in that stat category. So Darius Slay is a phenomenal player, but it's going to take a late first, early second, and a big, big deal, probably 4 years, 60 plus million.
Absolutely. And one of my favorite matchups from last season was against the Detroit Lions with the Chargers and Keenan Allen and him absolutely going at it. Keenan Allen had a really good game, but it was something like 8 catches on 15 targets. Darius Slay absolutely made him work for it, and Slay got the interception that sealed the fate for the Chargers that day. But the Chargers are connected with this because Darius Slay on Twitter was praising Keenan Allen, saying, "Been watching Keenan Allen film, and the more I watch, the more I respect his game," amongst other nice words he had to say about him. Keenan Allen retweeted it and just said he appreciated it. But there is something there. As soon as he comes on the trading block, he's already, you know, praising Chargers players. And Keenan Allen is reciprocating that. And whether it's Darius Slay or Tom Brady, Keenan Allen has been the spokesperson for the Chargers out there recruiting, it seems like, so far this offseason. It is pretty coincidental that you'd see that with Darius Slay. I mean, saying that right after he's on the block. But it does seem like Keenan Allen is out there being the Chargers' best advocate.
Tom Telesco is not the one that's going to be out there trying to recruit players in the media. We know that he's very hush-hush about that. So Keenan Allen has always been someone who loves a microphone in his face or a spotlight on him or a camera. He never shies away from that. So anytime he can make some headlines or try to recruit some players, it's definitely in his nature. So who wouldn't want to have another all-star player on your squad to try to get you where you want to go, get you to the playoffs and get you to a Super Bowl championship? Adding another great player like Darius Slay or Tom Brady, for that matter, would definitely help this team. The Chargers are trying to make a splash, trying to put butts in a new stadium, grab another big name, and that definitely could help that in the future.
Yeah, absolutely. He's a great spokesperson for the Chargers, and I think he makes them a more likable team in the public opinion because he's out there and he's someone who's very easy to root for. But at the end of the day, I think you shouldn't really be too excited about a potential trade happening between the two teams. I just don't think it's likely. You talked about Tom Telesco and his unwillingness to make moves like this. He's never done it. So I just wouldn't get too excited about it. But obviously, if you have a chance to add a player like Darius, like, you do your due diligence and you weigh the risk of adding a player like that and what you'd have to give up for him. But we do have two more segments to get into. It's time to talk some XFL football and take a look at what that's been like over the first couple of weeks before wrapping the show up with some voicemails that you guys are going to want to hear. But first, I need to tell you guys that you guys can improve your performance in the bedroom and get some extra confidence in bed with BlueChew.com. That's blue like the color blue. Blue Chew brings you the first chewable with the same FDA-approved active ingredients as Viagra and Cialis, so you know they work. You can take them anytime, day or night, even on a full stomach, and since they're chewable, they work up to twice as fast as a pill, so you can be ready whenever an opportunity arises. Blue Chew is prescribed online and shipped straight to your door in a discreet package, so no in-person doctor visits, no waiting in line at the pharmacy, and best of all, no more awkwardness. Right now, we have a special deal for our listeners. If you guys go to BlueChew.com, you can get your first shipment for free when you use the special promo code LOCKEDON. All you have to do is pay $5 in shipping. The product is free. Again, that's BlueChew.com, promo code LOCKEDON to try it for free. BlueChew is the better, cheaper, faster choice. I also need to tell you guys about our favorite car dealership over at Metro Infinity, the only place you should be going to look for any new or used car. You can find them right off the 210 in Monrovia, and you have to swing by their brand new multi-million dollar facility and check out the amazing selection of new and used cars. They're the only dealer in California that is family owned, and they've been in business for over 25 years, and they're also the number one volume dealer in California. One of my favorite parts about Metro Infinity is you don't even have to go to the dealership if you don't want to. They will bring the new car and the paperwork to your home or office and complete the whole transaction there. They take pride in not being your typical car dealer where it takes hours to buy a car. They don't play games and they want their customers to have a luxury car buying experience. And they also want to save you guys some money. If you go in and you tell them that Locked On Chargers sent you over there, you can get $500 off any car purchase. If you or anyone you know is thinking about a new Infiniti or in the market for any new car, please give them a chance to earn your business. You can reach them at 626-599-7510 or at metroinfinity.com. Trust me, these guys get it. All right, guys. Well, it's time to get into the next segment talking about the XFL, which has been going now through 2 weeks, and they've gotten a lot of mixed reviews as far as how much people have liked it so far. But I think the consensus has been generally positive. We put out a Twitter post asking what you guys thought, and most of you had the same issues with it. The quarterback play isn't as good as it should be, but that it's still exciting. And I think as far as I go, I think I mostly agree with that. I think the play could get better, and I think it's still probably better than what the AAF was when it started. But we're all football fans here on the Locked On Chargers podcast. You know, we like college football, NFL football, and so we've all watched at least a little bit of the XFL. So John, I know that you watched a little bit of the XFL and you did not like it. So I'm going to go to you first. Obviously, John, what went wrong? The pessimist of the group. But John, what did you not like about the XFL and what turned you off of it so quickly?
Basically, the way the rules are, the AAF was the same thing. I turned away from that when I saw there was no kickoffs and how the hitting rules were. The AAF had like a little bit of a better hitting, but for the most part, it was the whole being careful around the quarterback unless you're hitting him high with your helmet. That's like the only rule change they made. And the XFL, it's more like what the NFL is trying to do with not hitting low and stuff like that, as well as the way the kickoffs look. The guys are basically like 10 yards away from each other as the ball is kicked off. I don't like seeing these player safety rules that are changing the game. It is football. If you don't like getting hurt, you can go play soccer where you get awarded for acting like you're hurt. And the punts, you can't run down the field until the ball is kicked. Like, where's the aggressive part of this game? Where's the, we came here to beat the crap out of you, not the, hi, I'm your neighbor next door. I just want to play this game and go home and drink beer. Like, it's not football anymore. And some of the rules I read already made me not a fan. Like, the end, overtime is just taking turns going for a two-point conversion. You're doing penalty kicks. It's five attempts at a two-point conversion. It's penalty kicks from soccer. That's not football. Go to overtime, prevent each other from scoring that one touchdown. It's hard-nosed, old-school football. That's not what this is. And that turned me off a lot, as well as some of the way the NFL rules – sorry. As well as some of the way the offensive rules go. There were so many rules that kept popping up. I'd see a flag, and it happened to not be the call, but the announcer would say, well, in the XFL, you can't do this, can't do that. And I'm like, are you serious? Another rule that's going to make this more of a patty cake type league? I can't take it. So the XFL is not my interest.
And I think some people are with you on that, because I think the XFL and its original adaptation was the extreme football league, right? I mean, it was supposed to be more extreme than the NFL. So if you're doing things like that, I guess it's really not as extreme even as the NFL, where you have regular kickoffs and stuff like that. We don't see a lot of kickoff returns for touchdowns anymore in the NFL, so that one doesn't really bother me. If you want to take out some of the high-speed collisions, even though all head collisions are important, and you're never going to be able to eliminate them, not in the NFL as it is, but if you want to take out those high-speed collisions, I'm okay with it. I'm okay with the fact that, you know, they have the different conversions, and they're taking kickers out of another part of the game. I'd rather see the players on the field actually playing for the points instead of having a kicker decide it. So I'm with you there. I'm not a huge fan of the overtime rules. David, I know that you've watched some of it as well. What has your first impression been of the XFL?
Well, first of all, I like the fact that they were really kind of getting you closer to the action and also getting you inside the minds of the coaches and the refs. I mean, all the audio, all the video, I think, has really made it a more intimate product. I think the fans are able to actually get more involved and really kind of grow with the game and you know, get educated on what these guys are thinking, because football at its core, I mean, it's a thinking man's game. I mean, it's going to be a little bit difficult to understand sometimes, but it's nice to kind of get inside the heads of these coaches and these players, just kind of see what they're doing. I really love that part of it. I like the professional announce crews. I think they've been phenomenal. I like the product. I think it's, the revamped version of it is much better than it were when it first came out. This is not like the AAF, because there's legitimate money behind this. I mean, the owner of this league is Vince McMahon. If you don't know who Vince McMahon is, look up WWE chairman. That's who he is. He is a multi-billionaire. He's got the money. He's got the backing to make this last. This product looks like, to me, like it has some things that can make it work and make it last for a while.
And one of the things that's been cool about this whole thing is seeing some former Chargers have success in the XFL, mainly Cardale Jones, because he was a guy who was in camp with the Chargers over the last few seasons. They traded with Buffalo to get him, and last year he got edged out by Easton Stick, because Easton Stick was the fifth round pick, even though Cardale Jones outplayed him in the preseason, hands down. I think there was probably one game that Easton Stick had better than the games that Cardale Jones had. And he put together, you know, his best preseason as a Charger last year, and he didn't get picked up by any other NFL teams in any meaningful way. So now here he is with the DC Guardians. I mean, leading them to a 2-0 record, and he's actually been pretty impressive, David. I mean, two games, 2-0, 511 yards, four touchdowns to one interceptions, and he has 10 carries for 42 yards, but he's actually looked really good. I mean, he's made some really good throws. Obviously, with the amount of talent that he's facing on defense, it's not the best guys in the world, but I am happy for Cardale Jones to see that. I still don't think that the Chargers, you know, necessarily missed out on the next Patrick Mahomes, even though he's kind of looked like that over the first couple weeks in the XFL, but at the same time, I am happy to see him find success there. I hope it does get him another shot at the NFL.
Yeah, I mean, I think at its core, this league, you know, or at its best, I think this league could be that. It could be a conduit or a way back. You know, it could just be a developmental league for the NFL. It could be just give guys another chance to showcase their skills, their ability, to obviously try to get back to the big time. And of course, that's the NFL. You want to get back where the lights are on brightest, where the money flows the most. And, you know, I think that's what the XFL could potentially turn into. I mean, that's something that's been lacking since NFL Europe. There hasn't really been any developmental leagues that have lasted. So maybe that could be this. But yeah, I mean, I've seen some really nice touch passes from Cardell Jones showcasing that, you know, traditional arm or that trademark arm strength that he's had. He's been really good. I mean, let's see if he keeps that up. But it's really been nice to see him succeed, and also been nice to see a former Charger like Nelson Spruce have a lot of success as well.
And we'll have a much better understanding on what this ends up leading to after the season when you start giving out camp invites, and we'll see if some of these players can latch on with any NFL teams and see an XFL success story. As of now, that hasn't been possible. We're only 2 weeks in, and the NFL season hasn't happened or started yet. So I think that we're going to see if it turns into something like that. Obviously, the major contributor as far as putting guys in the league is college football. But if you can be another step in there for guys who, you know, maybe just didn't get scouted properly or just didn't get the platform to show their skills and give them that platform, it's a good thing. And extra football is good. I mean, for me, I mean, as much football as possible, I will take the XFL, even if it's a watered down version of what you want to watch on Sundays. But John, at the end of the day, rules be damned. If you don't have good quarterback play, it's going to be tough to watch. And that's something that, you know, many viewers have already kind of commented on so far. But you're going to have to find quarterbacks who can play for this league to be successful, because no matter what offense you're running, and I do have my critiques on just not seeing enough big plays in the XFL for a young and exciting and explosive league. And I think part of that has to do with the quarterback play. And you're going to have to find some good quarterbacks if they want this to succeed in the long haul.
Well, you're going to have to pair up quarterbacks with wide receivers as well. I mean, there's a couple of quarterbacks who are decent in this league, like Walker. Walker's doing really freaking good.
Yeah, that guy's pretty good. I mean, I like him.
Could you imagine if he had the wide receiver from the Vipers who is extremely fast? Could you imagine the deep balls going to that? It's going to be Johnny Manziel to Travis Benjamin all over again. But what's happening? That wide receiver is on the Vipers with a crappy quarterback. And Walker's doing good with what he has, but what if he had better weapons? You know, stuff like that could make it more exciting. If you just get the right players and the right team, there's always going to be that one team that sucks. Even like the Browns in the NFL, if they have a good quarterback, he happens to have a bad offensive line. They have a good offensive line. They have a bad quarterback. You just can't find that right mixture, so they suck every year. That's probably going to be the Vipers or the LA team, the Wildcats, probably in the XFL. And there's going to be those teams at the top that tend to succeed a lot while they have that good mixture of offensive line and QBs. But even if like with a good quarterback, what kind of system is he in? What kind of wide receivers does he have? There's so many things that need to go right. But I think it just really needs to be, if you want to see the action in this league, you have to let it gel for a little while. I think even with bad quarterbacks, it could become a decent league offensively if it just gels a little bit. People get into the role of what the rules are like, what this kind of game is like, how things work, especially since you could do two forward passes on the same play as long as the first pass was behind the line of scrimmage. And then the second pass is behind the line of scrimmage. You can still do two forward passes. So imagine seeing a screen play that's dumped off to the running back, and then next thing you know, it's a trick play, and that screen play is getting thrown deep to a wide receiver for a touchdown. Like, stuff like that can make it flashy, but you got to have the players to do that, the right combination of smart people.
Yeah, and I think part of the problem is just the overall lack of talent. You don't have enough good receivers to kind of spread around. I mean, you still have Sammy Coates out there, who was, you know, a draft pick in the NFL for the Steelers, who's still dropping balls in the XFL. But I think that's going to take time, and I think that's great that you said that, because like anything, you have to wait and kind of let it play out a little bit. But, you know, one of the things to look at, if you're the Chargers, I mean, you could take a look at some offensive linemen and see if there's any guys to bring into camp. You can look at some corners and see if there's any diamonds in the rough that you could at least bring in and give a shot to. You could definitely probably find some better players in this league right now that you have on the Chargers. So if that's the case, you should be scouting it and treating it as if you could be finding players in this league that might have fell through the cracks. And I think that's what this league is meant to be as far as how it pertains to the Chargers. But we do have one more segment to get into. We have two more voicemails to get into today, coming up right after this. All right, guys, well, it's time to get into what we do every single week and get into some fan voicemails. And as always, our fans are coming in with some really good questions. I'm glad to get into. So today we have Craig and Zach calling in again. So we're going to start with Craig. And first, let me tell you guys, if you want to get on the show, as we do voicemails every single week, and we need some new blood. I mean, we've had the same people calling in. I appreciate Zach and Craig, but where are the other guys? Where's Barnaby at? Where's Brian at? Where's Tim at? Let's go, guys. We need some voicemails. Call into the show and give us your questions. We haven't heard from Landmark, but that's probably a good thing.
Where's the curse? Is that why there's no Chargers injured in the offseason yet? Because Landmark hasn't been calling in?
That's the only thing I can think of as I'm knocking on wood. But let's start with Craig today, who's bringing, as always, one of our best new callers. So, Craig, what do you have for us today?
Hey, gents. It's Craig. Giving a call in, just comment a little bit about Phil and the official news that came out on yesterday. Very hard to swallow, even though we knew this was inevitable and the era was coming to an end. But for it to be official is definitely a tough pill to take in. Moving forward, though, curious to see what you guys' best-case scenario is in the offseason, quarterback moving forward. Would love to know your individual opinions on what each of you would like to see happen moving forward. If you have a favorite in the lead for the quarterback of the future. Personally, you guys kind of know from following me on social media, I'm a huge Jordan Love guy. But also interested to see what you think about whether or not, those stories are true, or if you believe that this was something that Phillips set in motion a couple years ago, if he had already spoken to the organization about what his plans were and how that dictated what they were going to do moving forward. Kind of seems like if they knew that, they would have gone above and beyond to put the requisite pieces around him to ensure that he had what he needed in front of him to succeed. Doesn't seem like they went super far to make that happen. If that is the case, then moving forward, they become more diligent about, supplying depth in front of whoever the new quarterback is. It kind of seems like a bit of a slight to Phil. Again, curious to see how you guys feel about that. And as always, thanks for providing a platform for us to call in and have Chargers talk. There aren't a whole lot of places to do it. Bulls up, guys. Thanks again.
Yeah, I know that this obviously was from when the Phillip Rivers news happened, but I think a lot of this is still very important as far as the Chargers go, because I do want to know what your guys' best case scenario is for the Chargers at quarterback, since we know now that Phillip Rivers is not coming back. But I also want to know if you guys think that this is something that the Chargers knew about last season, and if they really just didn't prepare, and if they're going to do more for the next quarterback who steps in there. Are they going to give him an offensive line? Are they going to learn from their mistakes from Phillip Rivers that they didn't do for him in the past? So, John, when you're looking at your dream scenario and if the Chargers can help out whoever the next guy is, what do you think?
If you want to talk about dream scenarios, it would be to clean house. Trade whatever you need to and start all over again. Get yourself a bunch of young guys, build them up, and in like 2 or 3 years, you're starting to look like a decent team again. Get what Anthony Lynn wants on that field, because it's obvious he doesn't want Melvin Gordon. It was obvious he didn't want Phillip Rivers. So let him get who he wants, whoever fits his system, and let's become good for years to come like the Steelers usually are, teams that have all these young guys that are good every year and end up becoming top of the league in different rankings, like top defense or top offense in the league. They usually just mess up in the playoffs.
As far as quarterbacks, though, do you want a free agent? Do you want a draft pick?
I was about to say, and with cleaning house, it means you need to go in the draft. You need to go somebody in the draft. I can't really tell you who I want yet because I got to continue my scouting. But just off of first knowledge, I would like Jordan Love, just because he's not a run-first QB. He's the Russell Wilson type, which I think fits the Chargers better. I prefer him over someone like Herbert, who is more like the Marcus Mariota, Lamar Jackson type, who's going to take off running more than he is going to try looking for the pass, whereas Jordan Love will extend the play and find the pass. I like that way more. That'd be my ideal scenario for the QB. And with the Phillip Rivers thing, I feel like the Chargers knew this was coming, and I feel like they were tanking. I feel like the Chargers tanked. There's no way that you were that bad last year. There is no way Anthony Lynn actually thought Scott and Tevi were playing good. He had to have been somehow playing in a role with Telesco to make this team kind of bad so they can get up there in the top 10 and get the quarterback they want, or the offensive lineman they want, or just get good draft picks. I feel like that's what was going on here. There's no way they were that stupid. If they are that stupid, I cannot wait for Telesco and Lynn to get out of here.
I mean, you're saying that you basically thought that they knew something. I mean, they knew this was coming. And at some point, I mean,
I feel like
no matter though, no matter what happens, I mean, you knew Philip Rivers' contract was up and you didn't extend him last season. So you knew last season that this was something that could happen. You brought in Tyrod Taylor, which is, you know, kind of a short-sighted solution to it, but you didn't really think on the long term. And there's a lot out there that, you know, Philip Rivers vetoed the pick of Deshaun Watson back in the Mike Williams draft. But at the same time, I mean, you should have planned for this a lot better. And going forward, you're going to have to do much better at putting an offensive lineman in front of whoever the next quarterback is going to be, whether it's Jordan Love or Justin Herbert. I just went through a lot of Jordan Love tape over the last few days. And even though I see what people like, I mean, there's some throws in there that absolutely wow you. And 2018 was a much better season for Jordan Love than 2019 was. But the one thing I saw last year was, I mean, an obvious regression as far as taking some chances and throwing some pretty bad interceptions. I mean, that LSU game, I know that they're obviously very outmatched in that game, but some of those throws were just really hard to watch. And Jordan Love did not get a lot of help at Utah State last year. A lot of drop passes, a lot of guys where you're wondering if they're actually running the route because he's making some pretty good throws. But Jordan Love has all of the tools. There's definitely some decision-making questions I still have about him, as opposed to Justin Herbert, who, I mean, until the last few games of the season was not known as a running quarterback by any means. I mean, he showed that over the last few games, 3 touchdowns in the Rose Bowl, I mean, really brought it out onto center stage. But I definitely still think of him as a pass-first guy. It's going to be a tough decision, but now with the news of Detroit Lions potentially taking a quarterback, there's so many more things at play there. But we are going forever on this, so let's get into the next caller, to Zach from Florida, who has some questions about some offensive linemen the Chargers could potentially bring in.
Hey, this is Zach from Florida. So there's been talk of trying to get offensive line help in free agency in about a month. And two names that I saw pop up on the top 50 free agents list are Jason Peters and Andrew Whitworth. And some of the positives I could see is that they definitely do bring experience, and I feel like they could be a leader both on our offensive line by whipping them kind of into shape, and also maybe with the loss of Rivers, maybe being a leader in the locker room as well. Things that do concern me, though, are injuries, because I heard, like, Jason Peters won't play a full regular season, but he still could play maybe 12 to 13 games. They're both 38, so the age kind of concerns me. And then price. Are there going to be too much to pay for them? So just wanted to get your thoughts on these two free agents and if you think we should take a chance on trying to sign one of them. Have a good day and bulk up.
I mean, there's a lot of free agent tackles out there in the market this offseason, and Andrew Whitworth and Jason Peters, David, are two names that are going to jump out as far as, yeah, those guys are guys that I would want. But some of the things you brought up there, Zach, the most concerning things are the age, 38 years old. And with Jason Peters, the injury concerns. Andrew Whitworth has been mostly healthy. But now those guys are getting up there. So even though they could bring some of that leadership and some of that experience, that's a very short-term answer to the problem. And right now, not knowing who the quarterback is, it's hard to know that this team is going to take a tackle because they're a tackle away from a Super Bowl run. So, David, I like both of those guys as players, but at those ages, when there's a guy like Brian Bulaga out there, or Jack Conklin, who I still think is going to re-sign with the Titans, those are definitely more risky.
Yeah, no question about it. I mean, obviously, you know, they've been in the league for a long, long time and they've had a lot of great success. But at 38 years old, when you're more than likely going to be getting a new quarterback, I just don't think that that makes a ton of sense to throw a, you know, probably a good amount of money at an established, you know, left tackle like Whitworth or Jason Peters. Just it just doesn't make sense. Those you know, the timelines doesn't match up for me. So I personally would steer clear of those two guys. They've had great careers and they might even have Hall of Fame in their future, but I don't think they're right for the Chargers at this point. I think the Chargers need to get younger on the offensive line, especially at the tackles. I'd like to see them draft or, you know, bring in a guy like you said, Bulaga, and you know, with a rookie quarterback, that way they can kind of stay around for, you know, several years to come. They can gel together. They can play together. They can stay on that same kind of track. But yeah, that's why I'm against those two guys. I think they just need to go in a different direction, a younger direction. If that was me.
Yeah, exactly. They do definitely need to get younger at the position. And the other thing about that is neither of those guys are going to want to play right tackle at this point of their career. Not in my mind, at least. And that's just, for me, you have to figure out a more long-term solution. Even Brian Bulaga, I mean, is on the wrong side of 30. So it's not like you're getting a young spring chicken, but you're getting a right tackle, which, I mean, those guys can age pretty gracefully at times at a position of huge weakness for you. He is a guy that I would look at before the two guys you mentioned, even knowing that those guys are all pro players. Those guys in a vacuum would definitely be some guys that you would want to bring in. But you bring up the injury concerns and you bring up the health of those guys, even with the way Tom Telesco cares about his veteran leadership and all of that. I mean, it's still a pretty risky pick. So if I thought that the Chargers were in win now mode, if Philip Rivers was coming back and they were trying to make one more shot at a Super Bowl run, you would have to, you know, cut Russell Okung, who's younger than those guys, to do that, and you would save some money there, so that might kind of offset itself. But I just don't think this team, as it's currently constituted, is in that window where they're a left tackle for one season away. And I think you're right now planning on the tackles you're going to have for the next 5 seasons, 10 seasons, not the ones that you're only going to have for maybe 1 to 2 seasons. So that's kind of my thoughts on that. But I do see those names out there, and I'd be lying to you if I wasn't saying, you know, those guys would be better than the guys that we have right now, even given their age. So I think it's legitimate point that you bring up, because obviously the Chargers need a big infusion of talent at the position. But that is going to wrap things up for today's show. You guys are going to definitely want to check out tomorrow's show, because it's a big show. We have Jason Hirschhorn from Sports Illustrated coming on the show to talk all things Chargers and to talk about the 2020 NFL Scouting Combine, which is this weekend, Sunday and Monday. These guys are going to go out there, and the Chargers are going to learn a lot about a lot of prospects. So we're going to talk to him about that tomorrow. So you're going to want to be here for that. But until next time, guys, make sure to follow us on Twitter at LockedOnLAC and to like the Facebook page Locked On Chargers, as well as subscribing to us wherever you get your podcast from. You can find the Locked On Chargers podcast there. The voicemail number one more time is 323-524-7924 if you guys want to get your voicemails on the show. But we will talk to you guys tomorrow. Until then, take it easy and go Bolts.